From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour was made back in 2010 when a woman named Danielle Ramo was living in Brooklyn. There's something called the Brooklyn Brainery, and it seemed like a great idea, sort of a knowledge factory, an educational hub, a place where people could go to learn from each other about their expertise. And, well, all of that was the seed that was planted that has eventually led to the Rochester Brainery. And here we are today looking at the spread of knowledge, affordable ways to find out what other people are doing and doing really, really well, whether it's knife skills and cooking classes or improv and comedy or science or all kinds of other cool things in between. The Brainery is just a really neat idea. And so I thought this hour, let's explore what they are doing. And there's really no limits, I guess, to it. But I wanted to know more about where it came from and where it's going. Stephanie Rankin and Danielle Ramo are the founders, and they're here. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks for tolerating the host and his voice. And for our listeners just joining us, again, I want to say I feel great. I sound terrible, but that's all right.
We're far enough away from you, so. No, I'm just kidding. You wouldn't get sick anyway.
You've brought various instructors, and before we even get to them, let me go back to that time, Danielle, for you with the Brooklyn Brainery. I mean, give me a sense for you why you gravitated toward it and what you learned from it.
Yeah, I just, the business that I was working with at the time, our farmer had taught a couple of classes there. And of course, I attended those classes and they were great. They were really, really fun. There was like 30 people in each class. Everyone was asking questions. The classes ran over by an hour, actually, because everyone was talking. It was really inspiring. And so Stephanie came to visit me and we somehow got on the subject of Brooklyn Brainery and thought it was such a great idea. And that night we kind of said, we should do this. And then a couple months later, we were actually doing it. So it happened pretty fast. And then we opened in March of 2013.
March of 2013, where are you located?
Oh, March of 2012.
March of 2012,
sorry,
my gosh.
I'm like, was it? Oh, no. You're actually 2013. Wait,
Stephanie's
I'm like,
doing math in her head.
Let's count the years back.
It's fascinating. It's fascinating to watch someone do math in their head right here. 2013.
Yes. 2013, yeah.
Where are you located?
Village Gate.
In the Village Gate. And it's a really neat space. In fact, if you've ever even just been out at Village Gate, you walk by the place, there's always this energy that's coming from the place. And, you know, sometimes you hear music and sometimes you hear laughter and big groups. And but it's also different than Manhattan or different than living in New York City. And so when you saw something like that working there, you got to decide if it's going to work in Rochester. Why did you think it can work here?
Well, the night that we were talking about Brooklyn Brainery, we just started talking about all of the people that we knew personally that were experts in something and that we thought we could learn from. And then from that, we just started talking about other businesses in the Rochester area that we would like to learn from as well. And it's kind of a good way to coax these business owners into teaching you this, you know, great stuff that they know. They, you know, or, and even just individuals. It doesn't have to be learning from a business. It could be an individual, someone who's just a master on a topic. And we kind of just, you know, came up with 10, 15 different ideas in a very short period of time and said, you know, there's a lot here. What can we do with this?
What were the original ideas? What were the first Rochester Brainery classes?
Well, Travis, I think, right? We were doing a beer tasting actually over dinner, and her husband was doing it. And we said, this would make a really fun class, you know? And I think that's kind of how it started. But then, you know, we mentioned people like my friend Megan across the way here, who teaches improv and some other stuff at the Brainery, and people like that, you know.
And Dan Walpole, who teaches, he did a jug band class, which was a lot of fun.
What?
So very,
Did you say jug band?
Yep.
J-U-G?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
You want to explain what a jug band is?
It's basically music that you can make with jugs, and there's kazoos, and it's a genre?
Yeah, there's actually a really cool history of jug band music, and he teaches a history of jug band music class on occasion, and we haven't had it in a while, but we need to have it again soon. And then he teaches, you know, just a DIY instrument class, which is a lot of jug band music. You make your own instruments. So there's a lot of different ways that you can go with just thinking of one thing like jug band music. There's, you know, many classes you can teach off of that. And that's kind of what we do is we try and offer a lot of different topics on the same subject.
Most classes that I've seen are $15 or $30. Is that right?
Yep, that's the range. They're all between $15 and $30.
$15 and $30. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I confess that part of the genesis of this conversation came when I'm sure my father-in-law is not listening right now. My wife and I were talking about what should we do for my father-in-law for Christmas. And, you know, he is a wonderful cook and very creative guy, but he always loves learning new things and all these things. And I thought, well, you know, every time we go by the Brainery, it seems like they're doing something cool. And you can jump online and you saw what they're doing. And my wife and I thought, well, why don't we just get him gift certificates to the Rochester Brainery and he can decide. You know, maybe he wants to do jug band music, but maybe he wants to do something along the culinary side. And I was just amazed because you start going down the list and you see all this diverse range of things. So from the early days when you had the first dozen topics or so to now, I mean, it hasn't even been 2 years. Mm. Are there people who come to you saying, hey, I'd love to do this at the Brainery? Or how are you creating the menu of options?
Yeah, we have a lot of teaching requests. Mm-hmm. We kind of always have a backlog of people that are interested in teaching. And then also there's a lot of people that reach out to us and say, hey, I'd love to learn about this topic. And we will find someone. We will find an expert in the community that will teach it as long as there's enough interest.
How do you vet to make sure that a person who says they are qualified is qualified? I think that's a very serious question because you do want someone who's good.
Yeah, we want to make sure that even though our price point is low, the quality is very high. And so when we have teachers apply online, we do have them submit a resume. And you don't necessarily need a degree to teach on the subject, but we would like to see a strong background. If you're teaching something like knitting or Rachel teaches across the way here, who's with us today, teaches bookbinding classes. We like to see, and she has a strong background in it, but as an example, we like to see examples of the work mm-hmm. that they do and the quality of their work.
I'm going to pull up the website and see if I can just go down the list just for the fun of it.
Sure.
What is the website?
It's just rochesterbrainery.com.
Okay, so for our listeners too, you can kind of follow along and check out some of the things there. But what are some of the most unusual classes you've had?
Oh, geez. Well, the jug band music class is definitely pretty unusual. We have a shibori dye workshop, which isn't necessarily unusual, but not something that's usually offered in a 3-hour session. So that's pretty interesting.
Oh, I'm trying to think.
We have a kimchi class tonight.
Oh, yeah, we have a kimchi class tonight, which is pretty interesting.
There's so many, so that's why it's hard for us to, you know, read through. There's so many interesting different topics. Last night we had a bookbinding class. We had an eyebrow shaping workshop earlier this week, so it really is across the board.
Do you mind if I just kind of go down the list
go
here,
for
just,
it.
Just for
yeah.
the fun of it? Because this, again, this is what my wife and I were doing the other day. So making kimchi, essential oils for winter. Mm-hmm. Again, that's something I know nothing about there. Think like a journalist, how to write and pitch your press release. I think we're going to be talking about that coming up here. Dance composition. Preserved holiday gifts from the kitchen. Simple herbal lotions and salves. Again, I love the range here. Getting started with customer relationship management for small business. Indian cooking, the spices of India. That's got to be just great. Comedy improv, level 2 comedy improv. So again, I could just keep going down the list here. How many? What's the goal for the Brainery? How many classes? You know, what's sort of the quota that you want to have?
Is it per month?
Yeah.
I'd say around 30 or more.
Mm-hmm. We have 2 rooms in our space, so we can run 2 classes at a time. Of course, if one class is particularly loud, we'll probably only have 1 class that evening, but we're open 7 days a week. We don't always have classes 7 days a week, but we really aim for it. And then, you know, some days we have multiple classes. So mm-hmm. we really have anywhere, you know, a month like November and December, where there are a lot of holidays, we maybe have 25 classes. But then, you know, months where there's not as much going on, we might have 40 classes, mm-hmm. depending on the interest.
And both of you, as founders of the Brainery, you just must be intellectually curious people by nature.
We are.
Yeah.
We're nerds. In a good way.
Yeah.
We just like to learn.
It's, well, and the best thing about it is not even just learning about the actual topics themselves, but learning about what's going on in Rochester and learning about the people in Rochester, I think is the most interesting part, because half the people that I know today, I didn't know 2 years ago. And it's all just because they've taught at the Brainery and they do really interesting things.
Now, people can rent the space as well, but not for classes. That's just separate to use the space?
It depends. So our class max cost is $30, and we do that because we feel that then crosses the affordability threshold, if you will, what we've heard from people, the feedback that we've got. So sometimes people are just looking for a space to hold their own class. They want to be able to charge $100 or something like that, but they just don't have a space. So sometimes people will rent our space to do that. Then they'll run their class separately. And then other times people will rent it. We do a ton of baby showers, bridal showers. We do birthday parties. Sometimes people use our classes. Sometimes they don't.
Yep.
Sometimes businesses rent our space. This morning we had a rental and they were just using it for a meeting. Other times they'll use our classes as well for team building.
Talking to Stephanie Rankin and Daniel Ramo, the founders of the Rochester Brainery. What was the most surprising success? The surprise hit that you were shocked that was overflowing, or for you was an intellectual stimulation that you didn't expect?
As far as one of the classes that we've had? Oh, wow.
Because I imagine there are sort of backed by popular demand kind of classes, right?
Oh, yeah.
We had, I would say, the Ukrainian Easter egg class that we had last April. It kept selling out, so we had to keep.
Ukrainian Easter egg?
Yeah, three the painting. Yeah, it just kept selling out and selling out.
Wow.
Yeah, and then also we did, we continue to work with Black Button Distilling, but last year we did the very first whiskey workshop we had with them, sold out twice, and we had 2 days, and then we added a third, and we continue to run those, and they're very popular. We're actually introducing new classes with them. We have a Bloody Mary class coming up, but we work with them a lot, and that's been very successful.
Is there a genre? Is alcohol always popular? I mean, is cooking always popular?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, well, you know, they are popular, yeah, definitely. I mean, we have other things that are popular, too. Like, we have a hand lettering and shot class, which is very, very popular, and terrarium workshops, which are very popular. The improv classes are pretty popular as well.
Screen printing classes.
Screen printing, bookbinding. They're all classes that we run on a regular basis because they're all very popular.
Yeah, just a really neat diversity of things. For our listeners, if you've been to any of the Brainery classes, I'd love to hear some of your feedback. You can interact with the program on Twitter, at Evan Dawson. Or you can call 844-295-TALK, 844-295-8255, or 263-WXXI, 263-9994. Let's turn to some of the instructors, and I'm going to start with Just Terrific. That's Rachel Gutnick. And what is Just Terrific?
Just Terrific is the business that I started after leaving my full-time bookbinding job. It's an outlet for me to stay creative and continue bookbinding, book restorations, rebacking, and rebindings of older books.
All right, so you do a bookbinding class at the Brainerd.
Yes, yep.
And who is the target market for that kind of a class? I'm very curious.
I would say people who enjoy writing, people who enjoy handcrafts and hand-making items. Usually of the younger generations, although I have gotten older people who really want to do something tactile with their hands and create something from scratch.
I didn't know that. I mean, I truly didn't even know you could do it. I mean, sometimes does a class, for this kind of a class, do we have to come with materials or purchase materials?
No, the materials are all selected by me. The Brainery helps out with the materials as well. And basically, we just start from scratch, pieces of paper, copy paper, construction paper, and we assemble the books. And I teach a very simple, basic sewing for those individuals who have never experienced bookbinding before, because it can be a little confusing at first, but making it really basic and really easy to follow along. And at the end of the class, they get to take home a handful of notebooks that they created on their own.
How long is your class?
It runs 2 hours.
It runs 2 hours. And by the way, I apologize, guys. Is that normal?
Yeah. All of our classes are between 1 and 3 hours long.
Jake writes and asks, you mentioned $15 for class earlier. What is the general price range altogether for the different courses? Again, everything between 15 and 30?
Yes.
Yeah. And I think it's important to note as well that 99.9% of the time, all of the supplies are included. On occasion, we'll have a watercolor class or something, and we'll ask you to bring something that you would like to paint. But otherwise, the supplies are included, and you get to take any supplies purchased for the class home with you.
Rachel, how many times have you done a class there?
I believe last night was my third time doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Last night was a new iteration because I didn't want to keep teaching the same bookbinding techniques. So last night was a few new techniques that I haven't offered before at the Brainery.
And what do you get out of it?
Well, I love teaching. Teaching is a huge passion of mine, and being able to share an art form that's almost like a lost art form nowadays with individuals, it kind of opens up their eyes, and it really gives me a sense of satisfaction to see them leave the Brainery with something that they can take home and a little bit of new knowledge.
Do you guys ever just go next door to Lento and go to the bar for a drink afterwards?
Oh, yeah.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Gatehouse.
Or the Gatehouse.
Yeah. I mean, we really road trip.
You've got a pile of options right there.
Yeah, it's awesome.
The food is so good.
Yeah,
all of the places
it's
in
really
Village
good.
Gate. Though.
Have you had the various people from the Village Gate in teaching any classes? I mean, you've got a wealth of options there.
We used to do a dinner class with Lento that we haven't had in a while, but Art would come in, the owner, and teach an hour-long class, and then there would be a meal afterwards. That was the only class outside of the $30 range, though.
Well,
that we had.
Yeah.
But you get a three-course meal.
You get a meal.
An hour-long, yeah.
Absolutely. So, Rachel, for you as well, what's the camaraderie like? I mean, are you enjoying sort of the social experience of it as well?
I love it. The energy at the Brainery is unlike energy that I've seen elsewhere in Rochester. Stephanie and Danielle have done an excellent job meeting people and networking with other like-minded individuals. And I think that it's a really unique space, and it brings in unique people. And those are the type of people that personally I want to surround myself with.
Danielle and Stephanie, I mean, not every class is going to sell out. I mean, sometimes you're going to have low attendance rates, et cetera. I mean, how do you sort of manage that?
We have a four-person minimum,
mm-hmm.
So as long as it's four or more people, we'll run the class, and if not, we might try it again in the future. You know, since there are single-session classes, sometimes it honestly just comes down to the day and time of the week. Maybe there's another huge event going on in Rochester, and a lot of people are dedicating their time toward that. But it's a four-person minimum, so most of our classes run.
Yeah, and we do, even if a class, for whatever reason, doesn't run, we, like Stephanie said, we will try it again. We always try a class a couple of times, especially if it's a new class, because people just may have not heard about it yet, you know. So we always try classes a few times.
I also have to imagine that even if there's only four or five, that intimacy might actually be kind of cool.
Yeah, they get a lot more one-on-one time with the teachers and with each other.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably just the nature of the beast there. Rachel, what are you going to do next there?
I have a December 17th session scheduled for handmade paper ornaments. So another handcraft, handmade kind of evening. It's a great excuse to buy your friend a gift card and say, hey, let's just spend the evening together and, you know, make some handcrafts.
Handmade paper ornaments.
Yes.
Okay. And how much is that class?
I believe it's $25.
$25. I mean, again, a couple of hours?
Yes.
Okay. And are you going to walk out of there with an ornament?
Oh, yeah, several.
Several,
yeah.
Several ornaments.
Yeah.
Just such a neat idea. Let me turn to Tony Esteves, who is with Tiny Fish
Hello.
Printing.
Yes.
Tell me about Tiny Fish Printing.
It is a company I co-founded with a college friend, and we started businessing in around 2004. And we are now a printer down here by the public market. We print for all kinds of people.
You print for all kinds of people?
Yes, we print for everyone from the Good Food Collective, who mm-hmm. was in here earlier,
mm-hmm.
To the city of Rochester. We do all the printing for the city of Rochester, and we've done some stuff for WXXI as well.
I should know this. I'm probably holding some materials from Tiny Fish
well,
right now.
Well, we actually have something for you.
Oh, man. Look at this.
So the guys at the shop and the gals at the shop wanted to make you a gift. So.
Oh, man.
So this is the Evan is Dawson t-shirt.
I mean, I can't wear this, can I? It's a
great
shirt. It is a great shirt. It's a little narcissistic. So I'm looking at this shirt. It really is a cool shirt. And you guys should throw this up on Twitter like right now so our audience can actually see it.
We can do that.
We'll retweet it.
It says, It does. It says, Evan is Dawson.
That's right.
Yeah, boy. That is really cool.
Yeah, wow. So that's basically a little taste of what we do.
It's really good quality, by the way.
Yeah, thank you.
I don't mean to seem surprised, but it's really
But yeah, we use, that's a very nice shirt. It's a canvas 3001, which is ring spun and soft. And then we are known for our water-based ink. which you can feel there doesn't really have any feel to the print.
Yeah, right, right, yeah.
And so that's, you know, that's what we do, and that's kind of what I teach down at the Brainery.
All right, so when you're talking about Tiny Fish Printing, what materials are you printing on? What surfaces?
Apparel, mostly apparel, but we also do posters, like gig posters and such.
Very good. Okay, so you touched on it, but tell me a little bit more about what you have done at the Brainery.
So I teach a very basic introductory to screen printing class. So if anyone has any interest on how prints are put onto garments or paper, greeting cards and such, I'll give you the tools to set up a little rig in your house or apartment or whatever it may be.
I should get you to do my wife's name on this, because then I could really
wear
it. My wife is Dawson. Me, especially in the state of my health this week. It's just really, really cool stuff. What's your experience been at the Brainery?
Oh, it's been great. I started pretty early on, I think, really close to when they opened. I saw that they were looking for teachers. And, again, you know, we're self-taught, my business partner and I, and we decided that we needed to get out there and give back a little bit of what's been given to us over the years. So it was a perfect opportunity for us to do a class. And I guess the real key is that it's a very cheap class. So you get to work with me, who I know basically what I'm doing. So you can come in and for very cheap, you can come in and you get all the supplies. We you know, the shirt, the paper, whatever it is. We'll set up the screens and we'll show you how to print. So,
and, you know, it's interesting. You mentioned that you sought out the Brainery. Early,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
So you made a pitch to them to do this.
Yeah, I went on their site to the teacher form that they have that you fill out, the vetting process, and you know, I was like, whoa, these are a lot of questions. But, you know, I filled it all out and I submitted it, and we did our first class, and it was a success. So,
Rachel, how did you get hooked up with the Brainery?
I don't quite remember exactly. I may have been at the Brainery Bazaars, which is the second Saturday of every month. They gather local artisans and they set up tables and we all get to sell our wares. And I think it was at one of those Brainery Bazaars that I met them, and we just started talking and our ideas started flowing, and thus was born the bookbinding class.
Most of your classes that you do now, are they taught by people who sought you out or people that you sought out?
It really depends. Like Stephanie mentioned earlier, we do get a lot of submissions and have a backlog of people waiting to kind of hear back from us. We try our best to get through all those. But we have that. And then it's a mix of, so a lot of times we use Twitter. People will like tweet, I want to learn about this. Or anytime we get a suggestion, we'll put out on Twitter, hey, someone wants to learn about screen printing. Who do you know that would be a master on this topic? And people will reply to us. We might reach out to them. I just reached out to Rachel at Pistachio Press because she's in Village Gate as well, and we are looking to do some holiday card stuff, so we're doing a letterpress class with her coming up in December. So it's really just a mix of different ways of getting in touch with people.
We have a listener who wants to know if it sounds like most of the classes are targeted for adults. Are there any classes targeted for younger kids or young people?
I wouldn't say they're necessarily targeted, but, you know, as long as there's parental permission and the students want to learn, you know, we've had, but if the kids want to learn, we've had kids come in for classes before for a watercolor class. And really, I mean, our classes are kind of targeted toward anyone who wants to learn.
Mm-hmm. So what's the state of it now? I mean, you're coming up on 2 years in March, so... At the end of winter, you'll be at 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
What's going to happen next? I mean, are you going to do this for another decade? Are you going to grow it?
Yeah. Well,
is it going to be franchised?
Well, we haven't really decided on anything like that. We'd like to make sure that our operation is running really, really well. But we hope to be able to expand our class offerings, really. We would like to see the Brainery Bazaars grow because they're a really fun thing that we do the second Saturday of every month. We would want to continue to partner with local businesses to offer different kinds of classes. We've started doing more classes offsite. as well to get people not just down to the Brainery, but also at other businesses as well. The Pistachio Press class will be happening at their location. We've been doing birding classes at different parks. So we're trying to get people out into the community as well. We also, you know, we're always looking to expand the rentals that we do and those different kind of options. We also have business memberships and, mm-hmm. and memberships for people as well. So we're always looking to grow those as well.
What are the models? We talked about Brooklyn. What are what's happening in other cities that are similar to this? I mean, I can see this kind of thing just kind of blowing up, right?
Yeah, I mean, it is happening in several other cities. And, for instance, in Boston, there's one called Dabble. It's run very similarly, but we all have our unique ways of running the business. And since we've opened, we've probably had between 5 and 10 mm-hmm. groups of people contact us saying, how can we get this up and running in our city?
Interesting.
You know? Yeah. There's another business called The Chattery, which I believe is in Tennessee. There was actually just an article that came out last week that was highlighting different organizations. Brooklyn Brainery was included in that. And then other organizations and makerspaces and things like that that are across the U.S. So I think they highlighted it about 10, and I'm sure they didn't even touch on, you know, the half of them.
We're talking to the founders and some of the instructors from the Rochester Brainery. It is about a year and a half old, and just really interesting, the birth of this and to see the growth of it. Stephanie Rankin and Daniel Ramo are here. I need to get to a break just to preserve what's left of my voice, and then we're going to meet another instructor. So, Dave, let's get to a break before my voice goes, and we'll be right back. I'm Evan Dawson on the next Connections. It's Healthy Friday. Someone healthier than me will be hosting the program, thankfully for you. I'm not sure if they'll have answers for how I can get over this winter cold that's actually coming late fall, but we always have interesting questions and answers from medical health professionals. Healthy Friday, your questions answered. See you then.
Yeah, it's been a long haul, but there is progress in California schools.
It's actually pretty good. It's like a home-cooked meal, except that at school.
I'm Kai Rizdahl, replacing tater tots with broccoli and getting locally grown food on the school lunch menu. It's next time on Marketplace. It's from APM.
This evening at 6:30.
Welcome back to Connections. Maybe I'll teach a Brainery class on how to lose a radio audience in 5 minutes. It's just been a long week, but I've been saying today I feel great. I just can't talk very, very well. We had a caller who called in off air and wanted to know if there's an age limit for the classes and do they have gift certificates.
We do have gift certificates. They're available online in certain amounts, but you can stop into the Brainery. We're only open when we have classes or an event going on, so we just suggest to call first. You can get it in any amount if you stop into the Brainery, and we don't have any age limits at all. As you know, as old or as young as you'd, as long as you're interested. Yeah.
Who are the oldest? What are the oldest and youngest numbers of teachers you've had? Who's the youngest person you've had teach? How old?
Oh, geez, I don't know.
Early 20s?
Yeah, probably. Probably early 20s. We haven't really asked the ages, so I'm not sure. Yeah, but we have a lot of, you know, young people come in and teach, and then we also have a lot of people who are retired and are interested in still teaching. We've had lots of retired teachers, you know, come in and teach. I just met us. He was a retired city school district teacher, taught science, and was interested in doing some astronomy classes, which is really cool. Cause, you know, so lots of different people.
Let's meet one of your other instructors. And here's what I need you to do, Meg. I need you to just get a little more in front of that microphone. There you are. Megan Mack is somebody who I know because Megan does some work for the University of Rochester and does some really, really good work in helping people like me understand what's going on in the community. And then I see Megan's name teaching Brainery classes. I thought, wow, I didn't know all of this about you. What do you teach at the Brainery?
I usually teach comedy improv, so making stuff up on the spot. And on Monday, I'm teaching a class for pitching and writing press releases called Think Like a Journalist.
Okay. So very different schools and backgrounds, but tell me about the comedy improv background that you have.
Comedy improv. Well, I trained at Second City in Toronto, the Second City Training Center, for about 2.5 years. And I also took some classes with instructors from Chicago and New York, from UCB, from Second City, from the Magnet Theater. So combining all of that knowledge and training, I decided, well, Danielle and I have known each other since we were kids. So yeah. I taught the first class at the Brainery, which was a walk-in improv class.
It was on our opening night. It was our very first class ever. Yeah.
So it's bringing everything that I learned at the different training centers and offering it to people here who may not want to drive to Toronto once a week.
Yeah.
Not really fun, but improv is. So it's been a really great experience for me.
How did that first ever class go?
It was awesome.
It was a lot of fun.
No pressure. Don't be a bust for the first one.
I was worried no one would show up, but then there were kind of almost too many people.
Yeah.
So... It was good. It was great.
A good problem to have, right?
Yes.
The class went on like the entire evening. We just kept on going as long as people wanted to participate. It's like 3 hours long, I think.
Yeah, I had to keep thinking of more and more games so they wouldn't get bored.
And when it comes to comedy and improv, there's one school of thought that says some people are just funny and some people are not. What you're trying to do is instill sort of some knowledge on how to access our comedic skills. How do you do that?
That's so true. I think my co-teacher, Dewey Lovett, and I, we teach a lot of truth in comedy. So being vulnerable and recognizing honesty is often where the funniest things come from. So we do a lot of exercises that really, they say follow the fear in improv. So if you feel nervous and you feel anxious, that's actually really good because you can use that energy to go to places that your brain would usually never go to.
How interesting.
It's very interesting. And it's, you know, I don't want to sound cheesy, but it can be magical. It's a great thing that happens. I had someone who was in my class last week or 2 weeks ago who came because her friend bought her dinner and said, if you buy me dinner, I'll go to the class with you. She really didn't want to go to improv class. So she said, I just want to watch. I don't want to participate. This is not my thing. And by the end of the class, she was the first one to say, when's the next one? So it's eye-opening in a lot of cases. And it's really accessible to everyone, which is a wonderful thing.
We've been talking, when we hear about all these interesting classes at the Rochester Brainery, about, you know, what kind of audience they get, what people are looking to get out of it. So for people who go to improv classes, are there, I don't know, aspiring professionals, or they just want to do it sort of for the fun of it?
I think it's a mixture of both. I've had people come who want to join teams in town or play at theaters in town, and then other people who want to work on public speaking or be more comfortable in front of people at work when they do presentations. I've had teenagers come in who've seen Whose Line Is It Anyway, and they want to be the next Colin Mochrie. Yeah, so it's right. Really, it runs the gamut.
You picked the Canadian, didn't you?
Yes.
Colin Mochrie's Canadian, isn't he?
He is, yeah.
Yeah. You didn't pick Ryan Stiles, or
I like them both. They're all equally wonderful.
No, but on that note, are there inspirations in improv that you looked at and say, you talk about magical? That person is magical.
Yes. TJ and Dave are two improvisers out of Chicago who I was very, very fortunate enough to take a class with in Toronto, and they are just phenomenal. They create multiple characters. They do an hour-long show. And they're just, it's something called group mind, where they know what the other is thinking. They build these beautiful scenes, these beautiful long-form shows that are incredible to watch. So those are two people that I would aspire to be like.
And you mentioned Whose Line Is It Anyway, because that's sort of a cultural phenomenon.
Mm-hmm.
I always thought the British version was better, but, you know, it was most of the same people in anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of people look at improv and they go, oh, that can't really be improv. That must be planned. And I guess that's what the best improv is, when you think, oh, my gosh, how good that is. That has to be planned.
Absolutely. If you see bad improv, you leave with an impression that all improv is kind of bad. And the first improv I ever saw was at college, and it wasn't great. So I promised myself I would never do that. But then when I started at Second City, in order to get into the writing program, you had to start with the improv classes. And when I started that first class, I was terrified. I wanted to leave. Mm-hmm. But we played one game, and everyone felt like they were on the same page. And it was a great bonding experience, and I realized, wow, this is actually fun. So I think when people go to shows, there are people who have seen improv before, they understand that it's not always going to be great. 80% of the time, you're going to fail. But that other 20%, when it works, it's mind-blowing.
And I imagine that an audience for improv knows that. But the audience wants to cheer for the great moments, right?
Yes, I think so. I think they have your back, just like the players on stage have each other's back. And sometimes things don't work out, but I think most improv audiences, if they've seen improv before and they understand that, they go in with the right mindset.
Talking to Megan Mack, who teaches at the Rochester Brainery, improv among other things. Have you seen any magical moments at the Brainery?
I've seen so many magical moments at the Brainery, and it's usually because people come in and they've never tried it before and they're so scared. And the moment where they realize, I can do this, I just got laughs, that's the best thing for me. That's what I teach for, to help people realize that anyone can do it, and this great stuff happens when you're open to it. And you say yes. That's the concept in improv. Say yes and nothing can go wrong.
What is the feeling like as a performer when you get laughs?
It's great. Usually I'm in a zone, so I don't really recognize it right away, but I have walked away from shows and remembered moments that I was like, whoa, I can't believe that happened. That worked out so perfectly. So it's great. It's why you perform, to make other people laugh.
What is it like when you bomb?
It's terrible. It's horrible. And a lot of performers, they go through improv ruts where they love, love, love it, and then they hate it, and they swear they'll never do it again. And it's this cyclical thing. But what I was taught early on at Second City is that improv is disposable theater. If you have a great show, that's great, and celebrate it, because it will never happen again. That moment, that scene will never happen again. And also, if you have a bad show, it will never happen again. So it's over. Let it go.
When you do games, are they similar to what we would see in the Whose Line Is It Anyway kind of thing?
Whose Line Is It Anyway is, they use short form games. So the question game, where you're only allowed to ask questions, or they use props a lot. So yes, we teach that. My co-teacher Dewey and I teach those as kind of warm-up games and intro games for people. And then we try to transition into more long-form improv, which are, it's like a short play, scene work, two-person scenes, to get people out of their comfort zone and not be so gimmicky. I think short-form can be gimmicky sometimes, but with long-form, you really get to that honesty and truth in comedy and expose feelings and emotions.
All right, so you prefer the long-form.
I do, yeah.
The short form can be magical, too.
It can be. All improv is good improv.
I remember Whose Line Is It Anyway, where they were doing World's Worst. Yes. You know, you had to stand on the World's Worst step, and they did World's Worst ice cream flavor, and Ryan Stiles said, have you tried the pork? And Colin Mockery immediately said, have a lick of this Ipecac. And I thought, Ipecac and pork would probably be among the two worst ice cream flavors in the world, and they instantly went there. I mean, I guess you just learn how to instantly go to the weird places, I guess.
You can. I'm not particularly talented at that, and I think that's why I prefer long form. But there are people in town who are just phenomenal at short form.
Is long form more intellectual?
It's so tough to say. They're both equally good. I'll say that again. But I think long form, you have more of an opportunity to explore relationships and emotions and dig deeper in scenes. So I think there's a bit of depth to it that short form sometimes doesn't have, because short form is so fast.
Yeah. Rapid fire. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, really interesting stuff. As we hear from Rachel and Megan and Tony, I wonder if Stephanie and Danielle, who created the Brainery, how often are you going to classes?
Well, we wish we could go to most of them, but usually we're kind of working on stuff behind the scenes when classes are going on. Sometimes we listen in, mm-hmm. you know, from the front desk, or we'll pop in and take some pictures for Instagram, or sometimes we live.
But do you each have like your own niche of, you know, Danielle loves these kind of classes or definitely loves these. Is there any of that?
Not really. We're both kind of interested in the same things. And so, you know, we both want to offer a diverse set of classes. So I think we both really keep that in mind. There are certain behind the scenes things that we definitely like lean towards, I think, but otherwise when it comes to booking classes, it's pretty even.
Now, you don't have to mention any names, but have you had instructors who you say, yeah, they're not going to come back?
Yeah, we only a few. And to be honest, we've only had a few people that we've talked to interview that we've really felt are really knowledgeable about what they're talking about, but perhaps wouldn't be the best fit at the Brainery. We've really only had that happen a couple times. We do try and sit in on some classes if it's the very first time to give the teachers some feedback. Lots of times the first class might be a little difficult. They've never taught before. Most of our teachers have never taught before. And so they just get a lot of feedback and can make that second class, you know, so much better. Which, you know, it's a learning experience not only for the students, but also for a lot of the people who are coming in to teach.
Yeah, you know, for me, what you're doing at the Brainery is a little bit like a hands-on TED Talk version. I mean, like, everybody's seen TED Talks, and they cover the gamut. I mean, there's so many different subjects.
Yeah.
And we also, I can speak for probably just about everybody when I say the ones you really remember are tremendously dynamic speakers. Because sometimes the content's great, or the subject matter is really great, or someone's got a great knowledge base, but to be able to present it and really, frankly, to teach it is sort of what TED is. That stays with you. So at the same time, you look at the Rochester Brainery, and yeah, how interesting to watch these really knowledgeable people, but they've got to become teachers. And so let me ask that question then. Rachel Goodnick, you know, you know what you're doing, but now you've got to teach it, whether it's bookbinding or creating, you know, these kind of crafts, et cetera, but you've got to teach it.
Yes.
How does that impact you, you know, just kind of going in there from that standpoint?
Well, I'm actually at a slight advantage because I do teach at RIT.
So no, you don't count.
I do have teaching experience. But teaching anything, I mean, you kind of have to put yourself in the mindset of, like, you've never done this before.
Mm-hmm.
So going back to that time when I learned bookbinding, what were some of the techniques and the language that I had to be aware of just to understand the linguistics and the terminology of certain techniques?
Are you putting, like, essentially a one-day lesson plan together?
Yes.
You are?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. And, you know, timing it out. Last night's class actually ran late because we were just so into it and people were asking questions and I was working hands-on with individuals. But it is essentially a lesson plan and putting yourself in the mindset of a student and having no previous knowledge about a given topic, because that's probably why they're taking the class.
Tony.
Yes.
You're not an RIT teacher, right?
I am not.
Okay. Or a teacher anywhere else?
No.
Give me a sense then for you when you go into this setting. Was it the first time you've ever taught?
Yes, I had no teaching experience. It was a little intimidating to be fair. And plus, I think with probably any of the teachers, there's so many different things that you could teach, but you only have a short amount of time, and you want to make sure that you're getting across the most important points in a way that they can absorb it quickly. So, you know, I put together a little manual, and it's just a little how-to manual on how to screen print, and we just Lucille balled our way through the whole first class, ink everywhere. But it was fun. It was good.
Do you emerge from that saying, the first experience, do you emerge from saying, all right, I've got much better handle on how to teach a class now?
Yeah, I think each time we do the class, it gets a little better, a little more organized. We hone in on the things that, you know, because even the response from the students, because they might have an interest in it, they'll ask questions that make you think, oh, I didn't even include this. I need to make sure I cover this next class or, you know, whatever. So we're always honing, and I think that's probably true for everyone. Just every time you're up there, you just get a little better, and you're showing, you know, make sure the students are learning a little easier.
Well, Megan Mack, who, again, we've been talking improv, but you're also getting ready. Again, tell us what your next class at the Brainery is going to be.
My next class is on Monday, and it's called Think Like a Journalist, How to Write and Pitch Your Press Release.
And who's the target audience for that?
The target audience are PR professionals who may not have a lot of experience working with the news media. So the class is really exposing them to what it is to work in a newsroom and why we're so busy all the time as journalists, and then how to reach journalists at the right time and the right way. So how to get your press release seen and acknowledged and then hopefully get some coverage.
I would also think that it would be very effective for small business owners or someone who wants
absolutely.
To sort of, like, you know, be heard or try to break through the din, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Anyone looking for media coverage that may not have much experience getting it, that's what this class is for.
And I should say, again, Megan's someone I know because Megan writes really, really good pitches for Connections and occasionally probably gets frustrated with the host if I miss one. But some of the really, really compelling hours we've done this year are thanks to Megan's making me aware of them. And so, you know, again, instantly credible, someone who does so well and is teaching at the Brainery. For as a teacher, though, Yeah, you've done improv, so probably teaching is no big deal for you, right?
Teaching shows, I get nervous with everything, but I...
You do get nervous.
I get so nervous. I'm nervous to be here now. But I rely on what I've been taught in improv to get through it. So it's...
What's an example?
Well, as I said, they say follow the fear.
Okay.
And I'm using my nervousness right now to open my mind.
Even in teaching?
Even in teaching. The last class that I taught at the Brainery, I was really nervous because I had 12 people who were brand new to improv and had really high expectations for themselves and for me. And there's a lot of pressure. But then I remembered what my first class was like, and I put myself in their position and thought they're really scared right now. So how can I make them comfortable? So it's really putting yourself in your student's position. And with PR, it's the same thing. Think like a journalist.
Have I made you uncomfortable?
You've made me very uncomfortable. No, it's fine.
Follow the fear, man.
Follow the fear.
Yeah, my goodness.
That's a good T-shirt for Tony.
Yeah.
I love that.
We'll do it.
I really do. It's got to be even harder for you because people come in and they say, I hope they don't actually say it, but there's a little bit of a, hey, make me funny. You know?
I think I've had people come in who just instantly judge themselves because they're not the funniest one in the class or they haven't made someone laugh within the first 5 minutes. But once you relax and you let go, it comes naturally.
I'm seeing hilarious pictures of me on Twitter holding the Evan is Dawson. So if you follow Tiny Fish Printing at Tiny Fish Prints, you can laugh along at the host there. If you're just joining us, we've been talking about the fascinating growth of the Rochester Brainery. Stephanie Rankin and Danielle Ramo are the founders. Tony Estevez from Tiny Fish Printing. Megan Mack, who handles multiple classes, comedy improv, public relations, and Rachel Goodnick from Just Terrific have been here. But Stephanie and Danielle, you could have chosen instructors. You've got probably dozens now in your back pocket,
oh,
right?
Oh, yeah.
Do you feel like... Now, what's the difference between today and when you started with just filling a schedule at the Brainery?
Well, I think now we have a little bit better of an idea of what kind of classes people want to take. We had no idea when we started. We started really pushing social media in November of 2012, and then we opened in March of 2013. So we were putting out class ideas. What do you guys want to learn? Mm-hmm. You know, who wants to teach?
What were people saying at the time?
At the time, I think we did get a lot of food classes. People always
you probably always
food
will, right?
Classes, yeah. Always, yeah. Yeah. You know, and some really random stuff that classes we haven't even had yet because we don't know who will teach this class, you know. But we got a lot of ideas, but then really being able to implement them and see what actually works as opposed to maybe just one or two people who are interested in the topic. We've really, I think, learned a lot about that.
And Phil wants to know what are some of the specific food classes. Again, I mean, there's a lot. You're not going to remember all of them, but can you kind of give us a quick sketch of what you've done?
I mean, tonight we have a kimchi making class. Let us be frank, or Cipolla Romaine, the catering company. They've come in and taught a lot of classes, mm-hmm. Gnocchi making, cannoli making. We've had canning classes.
Yeah, and the teachers have really great backgrounds. The teacher who's teaching tonight, she's a master food preserver, went to Cornell, and, you know, really knowledgeable people in their fields that are coming to teach these classes. And we made a Dutch apple pie jam a couple of weeks ago that I don't even think Stephanie got a jar because I think I ate it. But it was so good. Like, the product is really good, too. And you get to eat during class.
Are there subjects or classes where you need teachers? Are there things that stand out to you that you'd love to have that you haven't before? I mean, you do have a few people listening right now.
Oh, wow.
We're always looking. A lot of people want to take classes on really specific business subjects, like the PR class, the press release class, I think is a really important one and one that we've seen a lot of interest in already. When I told Megan how many people are coming, she was like, really? Because it's the first class, you know? And Meg, it was my idea for Megan to teach the class because I kind of wanted the class. And I said, you should teach this. And she's like, what are you talking about? And I'm like, no, you should. Like, you're, you know, great on that subject. But yeah, different classes related to business. What else do you think?
Now that it's going into winter, I mean, if you know how to knit something, mm-hmm. you know, an infinity scarf or something that's really in right now. Any kind of crafting classes are always pretty popular. Yeah.
Jewelry making. Mm-hmm. We had a request for a paper marbling class. If anyone knows how to do that, we'd love to have a class on that. Do you know how to teach that, Rachel?
I don't know how to teach it, but I would take the class.
Yeah. And if anyone has a suggestion of a class they want to take, tweet at us at Rock Brainery. There's a form you can fill out on our website.
Which is rochesterbrainery.com.
Rochesterbrainery.com. We love hearing new ideas.
I hope you don't get a deluge. Well, I mean, maybe you do want a deluge of ideas.
Sure, we're open to it.
You're always open to the ideas there. It's just been such an interesting process to see. And let me finish by asking then the instructors. You mentioned that Rachel would go to that class. So, Rachel, what classes have you gone to? Any other classes, or are there classes that I wish I could have gone to at the Brainery?
If I had free time, I would definitely take more classes. I did the Shibori dye class a while back, and that was just awesome. I loved getting my hands dirty, and the instructor was really lively and really approachable. And we made scarves, and I brought some cotton T-shirts, and I made some T-shirts, and it was a fun Sunday. I want to sign up for the pierogi making class in December because I love pierogies and I've never made them. I just buy them from Wegmans. So hopefully try that out.
Very cool. Megan Mack.
I'd be interested in a couple of the cooking classes. I don't know how to make anything, so any of them would be very good for me.
You're starting from nothing.
Starting from nothing, yes. Cereal. Is there how to make cereal class?
Tony.
I did take a kombucha class early on. But I think I would probably take maybe like I've seen computer classes and web design classes and things of that nature I would probably be interested in.
It just doesn't sound like there's anything that hasn't been done or sort of everything's sort of in play there.
We really try and have everything.
Congratulations on your success.
Thank you.
I imagine 2 years ago when you started soliciting ideas, if I could have told you 2 years from now that where you'd be is probably high in the list of possible outcomes. Because there was always a chance, like you said, you didn't know if people would come out, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You had to know that you could open the Rochester Brainery and nothing happened, right? So this
We're
is...
still here, so that's exciting.
Yeah. Good thing.
You're more than still here.
Yeah.
It's really exciting. And for people who love knowledge, I think our audience at Connections loves learning new things. I'm someone who loves learning new things. Thanks for what you do. Thanks for taking the time to come in. Thanks for tolerating the host and his voice.
Teach a class.
Appreciate it, everybody. Before I crash and the voice is gone, Dave Campo, thank you. We'll see you on a Friday.